Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. This is the 51st episode of Health Science Coach. Today, I got the pleasure of meeting with Amber Reynolds. She is a program director at the Personal Trainer Development Center. She says, as the program director of Level 1 Online Trainer Academy, she gets to do a lot of awesome stuff. Here are some of her favorites. She gets to come in and plan and develop course improvements for the Online Trainer Academy, course and content creation included. She gets to hire, train, and mentor a team of members who help their students build their online training businesses. She turns chaos into streamlined systems so we can all stay organized and focused on what's most important. She gets to manage and co-host a podcast, help students get through course materials, troubleshoot their businesses, and help them stay focused. She gets to be a part of the most incredible team of people and work with them to make the health and fitness industry a better place. Today, we get to welcome and meet Amber Reynolds. Well, welcome, Amber. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Excited to chat with you guys.
Me too. I'm really excited to learn all about your Personal Training Development Center and what you kind of do there as a program manager. Can you talk to us a little bit and give us some detail as your position, as what you do on a daily or weekly basis as a program director there at the Personal Trainer Development Center?
Yeah, so the Personal Trainer Development Center started as an educational resource for personal trainers. Just, you know, we do our certifications, which are great in theory, but there's so much in between that you don't learn until you kind of get to do. And so we were trying to fill in the gaps with that. So Jonathan Goodman is my boss and the creator of the Personal Trainer Development Center. And through that, he ended up creating the Online Trainer Academy Level 1, which is what I am the program director of.
All right.
And so what I do is I help create educational content around business for personal trainers who want to create online businesses. So anything from figuring out, like, who do I want to help? How do I help them? You know, how do I create services that are meaningful to them? How do I market? And just how do I really take good care of people? So that's a lot of the content. And then I work with our, you know, thousands of students, build their businesses, help them work with their clients, help a little bit with our social media. But okay. The bulk of what I do is create educational content and mentoring.
Right. For those people that are becoming the personal trainers through your program. So then you studied, you got your bachelor's of administration from University of South Carolina there in Beaufort. Why did you kind of choose getting a business degree as you're passionate about sports and physical activity? How did that kind of transfer into wanting to study business in school?
Yeah, so I mean, I fell into personal training kind of by accident. That wasn't the first thing that came to mind. Business was what felt like a safe option. I knew it right. would help me in no matter what I chose to do. And so that was just a foundational option. And I graduated high school a year early and I knew I was not ready to go to somewhere else and do, you know, something, you know, something that had a different degree. So I stayed home and did business as a place to start.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And so how did you choose the career path? You know, you've been in personal training and the wellness industry for over 13 years. How did you kind of get into the field of being a personal trainer and wanting to help people with their businesses and their active lifestyles?
Yeah. So originally I was managing a gym and the owner was hiring people as personal trainers that had no educational background. And as you know, that can be a little dicey and not necessarily safe. And so I wanted to educate myself to protect my members. And I ended up falling in love with it. It had never occurred to me to make that a field, but I ended up really falling in love with it just kind of by accident trying to protect my members.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So we'll talk a little bit about your business and experience. So you kind of, like you said, GM and managing the facility there and being able to protect your members of the club. You were 3 years as a personal trainer in Bluffton and 2 years as a GM and a personal trainer at the Calden Club and Wellness Center. Is that right?
Celadon Wellness Club.
Yeah. Celadon. Okay. So during those 5 years, kind of what kind of takeaway did you have from being a personal trainer and then working as a general manager in that career field?
You know, I learned that there's, you know, personal training, you know, we do the science, the anatomy and kinesiology, and we study so hard to learn those things. But there is an art form that you have to kind of learn and cultivate in order to apply it well. And so I would say right. those first few years was a lot of experimenting and getting feedback and sometimes not great feedback, you know, part of learning to better serve, you know, my clients. And you can learn a lot of theory, but putting it into practice is very different because everybody is different. And so it's a huge learning curve to go through that. And so those first few years was a lot of fun because I learned a ton. And then there were certainly some tough spots where I had to, you know, take my lumps to get feedback and to do better. But that those first few years was a lot of kind of, again, cultivating the art of working with people and helping them in a way that was meaningful to them.
Right. Absolutely. So then you kind of broke off from that and started a business called Glow Mama Fitness.
Yeah.
what was kind of the basis behind of wanting to break away from being a general manager and a personal trainer in the industry in a, you know, the established company to starting your own kind of personal training program company?
Yeah. So I've always been an over deliverer and that I want to take care of people. And I think most of people in our industry are like that. I don't think yeah. I've ever met a coach who wouldn't give you the shirt off their back. You know, often right. we work for peanuts because we work so many extra hours because we want to take care of our people. And I wanted the space to take care of my clients in my way. And when you work for another company, that can be very difficult. And so Glow Mama Fitness was born out of that idea of I want to not only take care of them, I want to take exceptional care of them. And so that's where that came from.
Absolutely. That's pretty cool. You know, like you said, being able to take exceptional care and having them as your clients and being able to work with them one-on-one and see their growth and development through the whole process is pretty exciting and stuff. So then now you've been at the Personal Trainer Development Center for 5 years. You've been 3 years as the lead for the level one certification. What are some of the things as a level one certification that if I wanted to get into personal training, what kind of stuff would we do at the Professional Development Center there?
So the Personal Trainer Development Center is just a giant resource. And so I would go through all of the articles that we provide. We provide guidance on which certification might be right for you. I know it can be really overwhelming trying to figure out, should I do NASM or ACE or ISSA? So we provide guidance there. And all of the in-between things that you don't know until you know you need to know it, which is the hard part about what we do. Again, the certifications only get you so far. And so going through the articles and kind of getting ahead of it is really helpful. And then the level one online trainer academy is all business. So that's the art of what you do. How do I take care of these people? Because you can write them an amazing workout program, but unless you can convince them to do it, it's only going to get you so far. You need both. You have to have the science as your foundation, and then you need the art form, and that comes with education and with practice.
Right, absolutely. So as somebody that comes in and goes through the level one program and kind of decides, you know, which certification to get, do these trainers mainly work in brick and mortar type facilities, or are they trending more towards online, or how have you seen some of that kind of work through the last couple of years?
Yeah, well, I think probably before the pandemic, you know, it was more solidly in person, and certainly there were online trainers, but people weren't as open to the idea of an online trainer because they think they need someone to physically be there to count their reps, which we know is, you know, sometimes we can be glorified rep counters, but that's okay. If you want to pay me $60 an hour to do that, that's fine. I think, you know, with the pandemic, it made people more open to the idea of doing online training. But ultimately, you know, hybrid training where they do a little bit of both is kind of the sweet spot for most people. Right. It allows for that in-person connection that a lot of people crave, but also the flexibility that you need because we do not live in a vacuum. Things happen. You can't show up for an appointment and you lose the money because you had to cancel last minute or what have you. And so I think you'll see a much larger push towards hybrid where they do a little bit of both versus solidly one camp or the other.
Okay. Yeah. I like that hybrid idea of, you know, being able to do stuff on your own and with the program, you know, being able to show the movements in person and see the different angles of, mm-hmm. you know, watching them lift and making sure they're doing the movements correctly. It's a little bit easier to do in person, obviously, but you can make it work, obviously, digital, as many people have been for the last now 2 years, it seems like. So with that, then, what are some misconceptions you kind of feel that are out there about personal training that you kind of try to work through at the development center when somebody wants to come in and become a trainer?
Oh, man. Good question. I can't remember. This is going to sound terrible. I can't remember and you might know, but have you ever heard of Mount Stupid? I can't remember what it's referring to, but like when you're just starting, you feel like you know everything. And so you're super passionate about form and all of this. And then as you get more experience, you start to realize, I don't know that much. And your confidence kind of goes down. And then you learn a little bit more. And then you kind of know, okay, I know enough to know that I don't know everything. And so when we first start, we kind of start Mount Stupid, for lack of a better phrase. And that's that peak confidence of, I know everything and form has to be perfect. And, you know, I have to yell at you to get you to do the things, you know, if you don't do it, you're not passionate enough. And, you know, it's just way more complicated than that. And so I think the myth of, you know, if I just tell them and write them this amazing program and yell at them enough that they'll do the work, if I can convince them that it's important enough that they'll do the work. And it's just, humans are complicated, so complicated. And it's fascinating and frustrating and a beautiful thing. And, you know, be prepared to get, you know, super involved in psychology and behavior patterns, and your anatomy and kinesiology is important, but I'll tell you the bigger ratio of your work is psychology and behavior work more than anything else. So I think just kind of be prepared for that. I mean, work on that foundational skill set, but be prepared to do the extra hard work of figuring out behavior patterns and the psychology of why we behave the way that we do.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, looking at that as a teacher perspective, as someone, just like you said, getting first in the industry, I'm going to run my class this way. It's going to go this. We're going to have these transitions. And then now 10 years later, it's not even close to what you thought it was.
Yep. It's like, oh, I was so cute back then. So naive.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit more about what you guys have to offer at the Development Center. As you mentioned, you're the program director for the level one. What other types of certifications or levels are there, and what do you guys try to help with the most as a part of a personal trainer?
Yeah, so I think as a company, our big mission is to better support personal trainers as a whole. Industry is very difficult, you know, especially with the push of like influencers and weekend certs and things like that. When you're dealing with people and their bodies, it's exceptionally personal. And runs the risk of hurting someone if you don't know what you're doing. So making sure that our trainers have access to the education that they need and the support that they need, because it can be a very difficult job. I mean, it's a labor of love without question. You know, you can absolutely get paid well doing it, but it's very hard work. So we want to make sure that we're providing support in that way as well. Level one is business. You know, here's how you create a business. Here's how you take care of people from a customer service and customer experience standpoint. Then we have level two, which is the really deep dive into creating a singular program in high-end sales, which is its own art form. And then we also have, sales. Here's another myth for you. If you expect to go into personal training and not sell, I'm sorry, that's not going to be the case. You're going to have to get comfortable with sales. You don't have to be icky about it. And that's, we're a big believer in just building relationships and letting that drive sales. We're not into the, you know, pressure sales or, you know, kind of the icky car salesman thing. So that's level two. And then, you know, we have software coming out called Quick Coach, which will be free for everyone, for no matter how many clients you have. Again, to give personal trainers the support that they need a tool to deliver their programming and to communicate with their clients, whether they're in person or online. And so that's another big thing that my boss has created in order to better support our community.
That's awesome. Yeah. So with that program, then when will we expect to see that roll out?
Soon. So later this month, we'll do the first test. So we'll start the first stress test. And assuming the software can hold it and not, you know, go crazy, we'll add a few more people and we'll add a few more people. We have 10,000 people on the wait list currently. so we're expecting a big push. This is, you know, desperately needed by our community. So very excited to roll it out. But yeah, so hopefully, you know, here in the next couple months, it'll be fully out. So.
Well, once that rolls out, I'll make sure to link that down in the show notes as well. So what can a personal trainer expect to use that for, as a one-on-one tool to use with clients or for their business, or how does that kind of unfold?
Sure. So a lot of times when you're doing training, whether in person or online, people use like Google Sheets or Excel to track their things, which works. But it's not super intuitive, especially from a client perspective. So think Google Sheets, but without the necessary tutorial on how to use it. It's incredibly intuitive. You can upload your own videos to it. You don't have to try to figure out, okay, well, this company calls a squat something different. You name it all. You can figure out all your own parameters, reps, interval sets, whatever. You have that flexibility. And then they log in without a password, which I think is, you know, really cool. So they don't have to track a password even. And then they can leave notes for each other. So whether, again, it's in person or online, it's incredibly simple. It's gorgeous the way that they've designed it. And so it's just meant to do this one thing exceptionally well, and that's deliver workout programs.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, by, like you said, talking about the naming of a specific exercise is really important, because even myself and our other PE teacher, we both teach PE, rec sports, weights classes. We call different movements different things, and we've been working for 10 years. So just by knowing what we call it the same thing or different, you can also have different coaching cues specific to that movement in there. And I think that's really cool.
Depending on who you talk to, like if I was talking to a guy in his 20s, you know, that plays, you know, basketball, and I want him to do thrusters, you know, that's what I would call it for him. But when I talk to my moms and we work out, I call them hooray squats, you know, because it's more fun. Like, it just depends on who you talk to, and you adapt how you talk depending on who you're working with, which is important to be able to do. But yes, when you're trying to communicate in software that has limited, you know, options on naming things, it can get really confusing.
Yeah, absolutely. So are there any other programs that you guys have to offer there as far as different levels or nutrition-based type stuff that you work through?
No, we focus, you know, pretty heavy on business and then just supporting the community and everything else that we do.
Perfect. Well, I know I was mentioning that. I was looking at your certifications. So you're a precision nutrition level 2 trainer, as well as a online trainer academy level one through your program, and then an NASM certified personal trainer. How did you choose, and what do you kind of talk about the different kind of certifications and benefits to, you know, CSCS or NSASM, ASM? How do you kind of pick and choose or talk through that with your students?
Yeah, so I think it's funny. I find that most of us are certification junkies. We cannot learn enough. We want to know everything, and we kind of use it as a productive procrastination method. Like, before I take on more clients or before I do this, I need to learn more. I need to learn more. And so one of the things I'm constantly telling our students is, before you're investing in something, even if it's in our own program, is, you know, what gap are you really trying to fill? You know, make sure that it's absolutely necessary that you need this and you're not using it as a tool to prevent you from moving forward in your career. Because honestly, a lot of the work comes through experience. Certifications are theory, but you won't know what works for you personally and with your people until you actually do the work. So that's usually the first conversation we have, is this an actual gap that you have in your knowledge that will make a big difference by filling it? The other hard part is that if you're going to get your first certification, that's NASM or ACE or whoever, is every 2 years you have to recertify. And so you have to continuously get certifications in order to fulfill that. And you're going to end up probably with some weird stuff eventually. You stay in the industry long enough, there's only so many certifications that you can take. So I have an MMA certification for that reason. I have not used it since to fulfill my continuing education requirements, but I have my MMA certification. So try to stay as focused as you can, understand your target market and choose certifications that help you specifically with that target market. Try not to diversify too terribly much, kind of like I did. So do as I say, not as I do, to help strengthen your foundation versus confuse yourself with all of the different avenues.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things I was going to talk about. So you mentioned every 2 years you have to recertify. What are some of the industry trends that you're kind of seeing right now with certifications, based on, and you kind of hit it a little bit, but sticking with, you know, your pathway of what you're good at, as far as certification. So, as a teacher, you know, we have to get so many hours of professional development, and there's every 2 or 3 years, there's different trends that you'll see in the educational world. Other than, I guess, transitioning to online or hybrid, what are some of the other trends you kind of see as a personal, in personal training currently?
Yeah. So one of the trends that I really, really love is looking at health beyond weight. Health can present in a lot of ways, and it depends on the human being. And, you know, not focusing on, you know, having to be a certain size, I think is just incredible. I'm seeing more certifications around how to talk about sleep hygiene, for example, and stress management, and more kind of just holistic directions, which I really appreciate. I think we can all agree that focusing on scale weight is damaging. And so moving away from that has been really wonderful. And then also focusing in on different groups of people who experience things differently and kind of treating them with the respect and differences that they have, which has also been wonderful to watch happen.
Yeah, I like that. You know, as you talk about the weight being a thing, I remember it was probably 10 years ago, I ran a marathon. And then the week afterwards, we had our wellness check-in at our the district I was working in at the time. And the wellness people for health insurance came in and, you know, take your height and weight and talk to you about
your BMI.
Yeah. And sir, you're borderline obese. You know, you have, I'm 6'2", 210 pounds. And I'd say, oh, okay, well, can you tell me about that? As a health and PE teacher, I know what you're going to talk about. So he gives his little spiel and I say, oh, okay, well, I ran a marathon last week. I did it just under 4 hours. And he goes, oh, so you probably know about some of this stuff. What kind of things are kind of changing now to get away from BMI, and how are trainers kind of helping people beyond just the scale?
So one of the biggest things, and this is why I love my job, is I get to work with thousands of coaches, and I can tell you every single one of them look different.
Yeah.
And when we are authentic, and that's kind of a really big push, is not hiding behind, you know, filters and like, or special angles or whatever, like just presenting as who you are in whatever stage of your journey that you're in. And so we have, you know, coaches from all different backgrounds and different body styles and different sports that they play. And it's just, I think doing that has made such a big difference in like mental health and less shame around people seeking help from coaches. I mean, I wouldn't want to work with a coach. I mean, no offense, but like if I was working with a woman who was, you know, bikini competitor body, she's amazing. But for what my goals are, it would intimidate the crap out of me,
yeah.
You know, where I might feel a little more comfortable with someone, you know, who is strong and might have a little extra fluff because, you know, she likes to eat too, you know, and that's great. You know, cause that's where I roll, right? I don't want to, you know, give up my carbs or anything else. You know, I just want to be really strong. And so that's my person. And so when we have that representation, it's just made such a big difference in our community, as well as, you know, making people feel more comfortable in working with coaches.
Absolutely. And I totally see that, you know, as a endurance athlete, I'm going to be training with a endurance type coach and not a strength or, you know, bodybuilding type coach, kind of the same thing. So yeah, working with the person and what their focus is and where you see that fit in. I like how that, you know, you said, the wording was, I can't remember exactly how you said it, but working as the person in their body and where they are on their journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, as coaches, I mean, we're never in perfect shape all the time. I mean, it's just, you know, again, we don't live in a vacuum. Things happen. We have families and, you know, sometimes we eat a little extra for a while, or, you know, sometimes we look amazing for several weeks just because things have lined up. So I think the shame of not having a six pack, you know, all the time is moving away, which is great. And just better education. I mean, there are so many more resources now about what health actually is, beyond looking a certain way, because you can be super thin but be unhealthy, and vice versa. So I think there's just a lot more resources and better education overall, at least versus when I was in school, a long time ago.
Well, I mean, 10 years, everything changes and everything rolls up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's 10 more years of experience that you have in the field, and there's 10 more years of education that's out there as well. So over the last 13 years of being in the industry of health and wellness, what's something that you're most proud of achieving so far?
Oh man. So let me think about that. Probably when I led the project for our version 4 launch of the Online Trainer Academy, which is a huge undertaking of, you know, trying to figure out what gaps were we missing in education. I got to write a lot of educational pieces that were published in our textbook and in our online course. So being able to say that I've, you know, contributed to this large community and hopefully have made it, you know, a little bit better through that has been pretty neat for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything that you wish you would have been able to go back and change throughout your education or in your career so far as in personal training and health and wellness?
Yeah, I think I would have asked for more feedback. I think a lot of times we're afraid of constructive criticism, and it would have moved me along in my journey a lot faster and more smoothly had I not been afraid to ask for feedback and to ask for help. I think, at least for me, when I first started, I'm like, okay, I have all this information. I can figure it out. I don't need help. You know, so getting help, you know, when necessary, and then also asking for feedback a lot. I'm certain that I've lost clients because I wasn't asking for their feedback. And it's crucial, you know, to take care of them. We have to ask for feedback, and we have to not take it personally. So I wish I would have done that more often and better in my early stages.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's something that I work on, you know, as a coach myself with my golf students and athletes. We talk every day about, you know, what's something you did better at, what's something that you think you did really good at, and what's something that I could help you with tomorrow. So I think that's something that's kind of just gives them the cognition that, you know, you're there for them and wanting to help them get better. So I like that a lot. Career goals. You've been in the industry, like we said, 13 years. Where do you kind of see yourself maybe 5 to 10 years down the road from now?
Hopefully continuing to build out educational content. You know, I specialize in customer experience and creating unique experiences, you know, within our business in a way that's authentic to us. And so, you know, what I really love doing is helping our students create services, you know, for their clients that are meaningful. What we do is way beyond workout programming and nutrition advice and all of that stuff. It's an experience. And so helping them do that more, but also doing it in a way that feels really good to them. So my hope is to continue to build out educational content and help more coaches do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of as we've talked a little bit before in our emails when we were connecting, you also kind of helped host a podcast with over 100 episodes. And you said the owner is taking a little break right now with the kid moving with the program. Let's talk about the podcast a little bit and kind of what it is and how you guys use that to help your business.
Yeah. So the podcast was called The Online Trainer Show. Originally, it had four of us. So Jonathan Goodman, who is our owner, and Ren Jones and myself. I was more the production manager. I'm a little bit more shy behind the scenes type person. But anytime empathy is involved, I typically get dragged into it. And then Carolina was on it as well, which I love her. And so, you know, what we would do is kind of try to tackle, you know, topics that come up a lot, but also to look at them from a slightly different angle. Cause we get a lot of the same questions, but it's complicated. Like the answer is almost always, it depends. So hence why we have 130 some odd episodes is because we have to look at it from different angles. You know, so if you end up watching, cause we have it on YouTube as well. You know, the first probably 20 minutes of the first 100 episodes you can skip cause we're goofy and, you know, we talk and joke around a lot. But if you go past the first 20 minutes or so, that's where the educational content is. But it was just so much fun. And, you know, students, you know, people that listened would, you know, get the inside jokes and they'd send us messages and all that fun stuff. They send us ideas of what to talk about. And it's just another way to connect, you know, with your community. And like I said, like personal training is exceptionally personal and it's about relationship building. And so for us, this was just another way to do that and to continue to be there for our community.
Right. Yeah. I like that. I think, you know, as a podcaster as well, just seeing that and, you know, being able to help and show the community that, you know, different educational pieces about personal training. I mean, like you said, the answer is always, it depends. Mm-hmm. It'll ask the same sort of kind of thing. I got a question for you. Can you answer it? Well, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to answer, but
yep,
it's a different for every single kid because everyone's unique, like you mentioned. Is there anything that you wish you would have known in high school or college that might help you better with your career right now?
Definitely interpersonal skills. I mean, I think the anatomy, kinesiology stuff, you know, came a lot more easily, at least for me. That's science, right? Like it is what it is. I mean, science grows and we learn new things, but it is what it is. I think for me, I grew up in the military, so we moved every 2 to 3 years. So my situation socializing is a little bit different. But I think learning to communicate and interpersonal skills, especially in an uncomfortable moments, because they happen, and to be able to handle that well, learning that would have been exceptionally helpful I mean, just for life in general, but especially for this industry.
Absolutely. The next is we're going to look at a couple different questions for advice. So if I had a high school, let's say junior, that is at this point in time, they say, you know, when I am done with high school or I want to go to school and become a personal trainer, what advice would you have for them as things that they should be doing now that would help them with their career in the future?
Sure. So I would, you know, get a coach, you know, and probably try a few different ones, you know, try them out in maybe 3-month intervals, see what you like, see what you don't like, and make sure that it's a path that you want to go down, and ask them a ton of questions. You can also shadow them. That was something that I did even after I got my certification, as I checked in with some other coaches and like, hey, like I'll help around the gym. Mm-hmm. Can I shadow you so I can learn by you doing, cause I'm a little bit more visual. So that helped, but to see it in practice, was super helpful. So get your own coach, and we should all have coaches, even when, as a personal trainer, I think having your own coaches, cause you're going to get tired of programming for yourself. So having your own coach, I think is incredibly helpful as well. But, you know, start with your own coach, try a few different ones, see what you like, see what you don't like, and then get your certification. For the most part, you know, they're all pretty similar, you know, so find one that speaks to you and has the support that you would like, and then find somewhere to shadow. Cause again, the certification is theory, but you need to see it in practice. So find somewhere you can shadow, you know, offer to help around the gym if need be, get in that space, work the front desk. Again, learn those interpersonal skills, get to know the members, get to know the business, and then start training friends and family, and then put it into practice. That's honestly the best thing that you can do is learn by doing and continuing to do research and proper research, like journals, and learn how to read journals well, because the information can be confusing. You know, so learning how to look at that and understand the journals is super helpful as well. And just know that you're never going to know everything and get comfortable with that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that kind of goes into the next question is a college undergraduate that may be studying or being an athlete that wants to get into personal training. So that's good advice for them as well. What about somebody that is applying for a job? What would, you know, they got the certification, they're looking around at different places, their advice for, you know, maybe landing that job, getting that job, how should they go about that?
So I would probably try to go in, maybe, you know, get a week pass or something and go work out there, see how the facility runs and see if you can kind of get a vibe, introduce yourself to people, get to go ahead and start those relationship building things. And ask and see, you know, do they have space for a personal trainer? Start that conversation. Right. And if they do, for the interview, I mean, go dressed appropriately. I mean, don't do, you know, basketball shorts or, you know, I'd probably do, you know, khakis and a nice polo or something. You don't need to wear a business suit, but, you know, dress appropriately. And answer the questions as best you can. That's a whole different skill is learning interview skills. That would be a different episode, but, generally it's not a complicated interview, but, you know, be open, be personable, eye contact, you know, and if you don't know the answer to something, it's absolutely okay to say that. It's not going to tank the interview. If you don't know, tell them how you would find out. And then you really should be okay.
So if I'm a personal trainer and I have my certifications and I've gotten hired and I've been in the industry now for, let's say, 3 to 6 months, what advice would you have for that type of personal trainer? You know, they're building their client list. They may have been given a client list when they started their job or, you know, had brought one from somewhere else. What advice would you have for that type of person 3 to 6 months into the position?
Yeah, I think that's a really good time to kind of pause and evaluate, you know, how are your current clients doing? How are your processes? Are they happy with the service that you're providing? And so if you do have a few clients under your belt and you have a system-ish, like, I think it's a really good time to dig in and polish that So that way, as you do take on more clients, you do an even better job with them.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, that, and that's a time for self-reflect and looking at what you're doing and try to better yourself throughout that time is pretty important. So a couple more questions here is, you know, we're getting into around 40 minutes now. What advice would you have for a, you know, high school or college age student as a book recommendation for them to look into about personal training to see if that's something that they're interested in getting into?
Yeah. So Jonathan Goodman, my boss, wrote Ignite the Fire. And the personal trainer, I think Pocketbook is what it's called, one of his earlier books. But Ignite the Fire would be a huge recommendation to kind of see if this is a good direction for you to go in.
Okay, I like that a lot. What kind of, is there any detail you have in there about the book? Maybe talk about the pocket guide?
Yeah, so, you know, Ignite the Fire is going to kind of be more of an overview of being a trainer, but the pocketbook specifically, I think, answers a lot of the questions that we tend to have early on and helps you answer them for yourself. And so I know when I first started, it was one of the first books that I had, and it just kind of put my mind at ease that, okay, I'm not the only one that has this question. So it made, because I, you know, sometimes you feel like it's a stupid question. And so seeing it in a book's like, okay, well, maybe I'm not so silly after all.
Right.
It helped answer a lot of those early questions about how to do certain things as a coach. So I that was a resource that I used pretty frequently early on.
Yeah, absolutely. And then a physical therapist gave me this question that he kind of just brought out as a product that you use on a daily basis. He said if he had a medicine ball and a BOSU ball, he could pretty much do any type of physical activity or training method with anybody. Is there any specific type of equipment that you're really passionate about having your trainers use, or that you just in general really like as a trainer and a coach?
As a trainer and a coach, let me think about that for a minute. I am of the mindset of use what you have. And so, especially with my demographics, my demographic is hot mess working moms. And so the idea of having, yeah, I know we are a mess. It is what it is. We're honest about it though. You know, so the idea of having a lot of equipment stresses them out. And so, you know, I would say it's less about the equipment, but about your creativity. And so a lot of things that I do with clients is like dancing or doing something with your baby, or if you have a bag of dog food, like we do a bunch of weird things, and it just doesn't matter if you're using dumbbells or whatever. It's more right. about making sure you're moving. And if you're using, you know, water bottles or towels to do knee slides, whatever, right? It's finding the creativity and not letting excuses get in your way because you don't have the equipment. And so for me, that's the angle that I take. And that's what provides a lot of the fun for me. I would get bored, you know, doing the same thing with a barbell all the time. Me and my demographic, we're a little ADD. So like we need some variety. And so by focusing on, you know, using what we have at the house adds a bit of a fun factor and that creativity for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. So then our athletic trainer here at the high school had this added this question into it as well. If you do like and if you dislike. So hers was, if you dislike wrapping ankles or feet, then being a athletic trainer is not the career path for you. Do you have any advice for if dislike blank, then being a personal trainer is not the right career path for you?
Oh, gosh, there's so many of those. If you do not like people. It is a very people-y industry. There's no way around it. I mean, there's plenty of introverted coaches, but you know, you have to be able to manage, you know, when you're on low energy. And if you can't do that, you're going to have a hard time. If you dislike sales, you're going to have a hard time. No matter how good of a coach you are, if you can't convey the value that you provide in a meaningful way, they're not going to buy from you. If you dislike confrontation, And I don't even mean confrontation in a like a yelly kind of way. You're going to have situations where they don't show up repeatedly. And that's a difficult conversation to have. So if you're not willing to learn that skill, you're going to have a hard time. So those are the first ones that kind of come up for me.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think those hit right on the head. And then so let's flip that around. If you do like blank, then being a personal trainer is the right career path for you.
If you like making a difference in someone's life, it's so funny to me that teaching people how to squat and move more and to eat a little healthier, the impact that that has. Like, this stuff can come easily to some of us, and some of us, you know, haven't struggled, and it may not seem like a big deal, but to help someone else, and it is a big deal for them because it doesn't come naturally, and they send you a message that just makes you cry because they are so thankful, you know, for something that doesn't feel like a big deal to you. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, you're putting people on a path, not just of being healthier for them, but for their families. And so this ripple effect. So if you love the idea of making a difference, this is definitely a potential path for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, like you said, that difference maker, being able to scope out the whole health and wellness and not just the one specific thing about being on the scale, I think is, it's like we've talked about, is really important. Last question I have for you, and thank you so much for spending this time with us. Do you have a mantra or quote that you kind of live your professional work life by?
I do. So my boss will laugh at this because it's not his quote, and I'm sure he'll give me crap for it later. But my favorite quote is from James Clear, his book Atomic Habits. You do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. And as someone who can take things personally when things don't go well, it gives me something constructive to do. Because if something doesn't work, it's not because of me. It's because of my system, and I can fix that. And it puts in perspective that no matter how much you may wish for something, it's work to get there, and you have to create a path to get there. So I use that pretty much on a daily basis. If I wasn't terrified of needles, I would get it tattooed on me. Just like, it's that good of a quote.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, no, that's hits it right on the head. I think that's really good. Is there anything else you want to share with us about the Personal Trainer Development Center that we haven't hit on already, or anything else about personal training as a whole industry?
You know, I would just say, you know, check out the PPDC.com. You can also find us on Facebook. We have two groups, Fit Pros Unite, if you're kind of focused more on in-person, and if you're focused on online or components of online, Online Trainers Unite. We are ready and willing to help. Don't hesitate to reach out. Even if you want to reach out to me personally, you're more than welcome to. I'm happy to answer any questions and offer any guidance that I can.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks again. Thanks so much. Good to see you.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.